Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the work of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 233, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear. For I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul, for thee I fear. O God, thy trusting servant heed. O God, thy trusting servant heed. The first three stanzas of Psalter 233.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 16 through verse 40. 16 through 40 of Acts chapter 16. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out in the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, and they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent to the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them, and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison, and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them, and departed. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning the mourning family of Mrs. Janet Vandermunt of Picture Butte, who passed away very suddenly in the day of yesterday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing God of heaven and of earth, thou who dost spare the one and who dost take the other, in thy sovereignty, we in this morning may gather Others expected to gather, but they are no longer able. Lord, remember thou those that mourn, for we are instructed in thy word not to boast of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. But we are creatures that go forward, desirous to build up our barns and to say, soul, take thine ease. O Lord, open thou our eyes. And wilt thou show to us and give us in this day a saving impression of our pilgrim journey, created to live eternally. And now we must die, and we must appear before our judge. And Lord, we have no eyes to see it by nature. It has happened again to someone else, but it is not yet in my own court. Lord, remember us. Oh, that thou would look upon those that mourn and that must now stand in this coming week before that open grave. Oh, strengthen and undergird husband, children, brothers, sisters, loved ones. And wilt thou give us all together understanding hearts. Oh, look on us then this day, when in all the busyness of this life, thou dost give, as we have read out of thy law, a Sabbath day. 6 days we must labor, but the seventh day we may do no labor. Lord, wilt thou give to us a little rest then this day, when we are gathered together in thy house? Could it please thee to give us also that unrest? Oh, if we have never felt it in our soul, that this day may be the beginning of that unrest, because we are without hope and without God in this world. Oh, that we may see and know and feel our wretched and miserable state by nature. And oh, that that love for thee may be born this morning in the heart of this one or of that one, when we are gathered together round thy word of truth. Oh, that it may it be in this morning hour, the time, the day of thy good pleasure, before that we also will go the way of all flesh, and that we also will exchange time for eternity sooner than we ever expect. For our life that is but as a vapor, it appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. O, cause us then in this morning to receive ears to hear and hearts to attend on those things which have to do with our poor souls on the way to a great, great eternity. Lord, awaken us, convert us, forgive us, remember thy children. Thou knowest, and that enemy, that last enemy, and that is often also the plague of their heart, for they have learned to die before they have to die. And they cannot die, and they cannot appear before thee. Lord, and they need so much that thou wouldst visit them, that thou may come over that I may speak unto them, oh, that they may receive for their own soul and that blessed assurance that thou art their God and that they are thy child. Oh, could it please thee then to speak this day? Wilt thou grant unto them that comfort, that instruction out of thy truth that we are not able? Lord, thou knowest their hearts, and thou art able to give us to speak a word that may be for them. Lord, that thou may remember all thy sent servants over the length and breadth of the whole world. Thou who hast called, thou who hast thrust forth into that vineyard, oh, help also those that are not able to do that work alone, that thou may undergird them, that thou may supply, that thy spirit may bless, and that in thy house, whether it be among the multitudes or among the few, where they must meet in secret places, that thy spirit may be among us, and that thy spirit may give the increase to the upbuilding of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. And do remember all that are afflicted and all that are sick. Remember those that have become old and those that are in the nursing home. Lord, remember, watch over, supply in the midst of all their needs and cares of this life and fears of their soul. And when loved ones and friends do one by one pass away, and that they are left alone, oh, may they feel, and that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Lord, that thou may remember all the afflicted, all the sick, all that suffer pain in the body. And there are also those among us, oh Lord, supply for them, young and all together. And wilt thou look on all that have needs also of the mind? Wilt thou also be on the right and on the left? Give us a need in our soul. Could it be in this day, in this morning, that it may not be just out of form and custom, if we have come up in such a way? Lord, wilt thou make it different this hour? Oh, for the first time or by renewal in our life, that thou may give a meaning to thy word and shoot thine arrows, that they may be sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, and that they may fall under thee. Help us to speak. Oh, give us words of utterance, and that thy word may have free course, that it may go forth in the midst of us, and that thy blessing may rest upon it. Forgive and take away our many, many sins, and bless us undeservedly for the sake of thy dear Son. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 437, the first two stanzas. No longer, Lord, despise me, nor in thy wrath chastise me. Thy mercy I implore. How long thine anger cherish? Consumed thereby I perish. My soul is troubled sore. We announce that there will be no consistory meeting tomorrow evening. Also, the Lord's Supper, which is in the bulletin, to be held on the 24th of July, the Lord willing, will be held on July 31st. Psalter 437, stanzas 1 and 2. Thank you. Congregation, the time after Pentecost was a very blessed time because the work of the Holy Spirit is what? That is to apply. And thus we can read many examples in the Holy Word of God of the application of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the hearts of men. We read that the Lord added daily unto the church such as should be saved. And then we can read sometimes there were multitudes that together were converted unto the Lord. And then sometimes we also read of individuals, one by one, how the Lord has taken them out of nature's darkness and brought them into His marvelous light. That is such a blessing. It is such a blessing that we may read it in this holy word of God. And why such a blessing? Because there is, congregation, nothing that you and I need more than to be converted. Do you believe that? Does your life show that? Is that seen by others? Is that seen also by the Lord? But then we also need to know what it means to be converted. We need to know what happens to a person. We need to know what brings about true conversion. We need to know what the effects of true conversion are, how true conversion does show itself in a person's life. Sometimes in this world we hear very strange stories by those who believe that it is well for their own soul, or we hear nothing at all. And there is just an assumption that it is well as I go to eternity. And that, congregation, is so very, very dangerous. Why? Because we have but one opportunity. And after this opportunity in our life, there is no more. No, that opportunity will never, never come back. Not to all eternity. There is one foundation. And we can read that in the Word of God. There is but one name that is given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. And there is also a way. There is a way that salvation that is received in the heart of God's children, that is by the working of that third person, the working of that Holy Spirit sent into this world on that day of Pentecost. And He does not work a strange work. No, it is a work that is often not understood. It is a work that is often rebelled against. We heard a little of that this past week. But it is not a strange work. But it is a work that is recognizable. And when that people may read and when that people may hear what is now written in that Word of God and how that the Lord is leading His children, then the Lord is giving in His own Word that those examples by which that people and you and I and may be given to lay our own heart next unto, that we may ask ourselves, is it now well with us as we travel to that never-ending eternity? It is our wish, with the Lord's help, to try to explain something of this in this morning hour from the Word of God, Acts 16, the 31st verse, Acts 16, verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." As so far, the words of our text, an exhortation to faith unto salvation. First, what went before this exhortation, and second, what is contained in this exhortation, an exhortation to faith unto salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. First, what went before this exhortation, and second, what is contained in this exhortation. And they said, "Believe." There are, congregation, few things that are so necessary to know in this world, that are as important as the knowledge of what faith is. And they said, "Believe." Why must we know what faith is? We must know what faith is because faith that is so important. No, we said that wrong. Faith that is so necessary. And why is faith so necessary? We read it in the Word of God. Because the apostle, he says, "By grace are ye saved through faith." Again, we read that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Again, we read, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And we read of the children of Israel that they entered not in because of unbelief. Thus, faith. Faith is now the means that we do receive the greatest blessings that we can receive in our life. Faith, the means by which a man is delivered from an eternal death, and he is given eternal life. Oh, how necessary to know what faith is, because faith is itself so necessary for us. And why now so necessary to know what it is? Also, because we read in God's Word that all faith is not saving faith. No, we can read of Simon the sorcerer that he believed and he was lost. We read of the devil that the devils also believe, and because they believe, they even tremble. Thus, the Lord Jesus, he makes a distinction in his word about faith. And he shows to us that there is historical, there is miraculous, there is temporary, in distinction from true saving faith. And now the Lord sets before us those marks of that true faith, that saving faith by which a man is received again into the everlasting habitations. And they said, "Believe who is that? It is Paul and Silas. Indeed, they are men. They are not strangers of what faith is. Where are they? They are in prison. They are in prison in Philippi. Oh, what are they doing? What are they doing there in prison? They are following the footsteps of their master, because their master, he went about doing good, speaking good, performing miracles, and then they crucified him. What are they doing there? They are living out the word of their master. What did he say to them? He said, "The servant is not above his Lord. And if they have persecuted me, they shall also persecute you." And so when we will live in this world truly in accordance with that holy word, when we will live in this world, when we will be faithful to that word, then also we shall follow in those same footsteps. And so they have preached the word of God. So they have cast out devils. And now where do they find themselves? Oh, they find themselves thrust into that inner prison. And their feet, they are made fast in the stocks. And now what are they doing there in that prison, children? What did we read together? We read this. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." Oh, then we can see that they are not strangers of faith. Because otherwise they do not sing when they are in such circumstances, but they have a God. And that God that they have is a God who gives to them songs in the night. In the midst of all their trials and all in the midst of all their afflictions and tribulations and persecutions in this world. Or is that also, congregation, our God? And they said, "Believe." To whom? Oh, they said it to a man. He was a heathen man. Did they say that now to one of the prisoners? No, they said that to the jailer himself. So, Paul and Silas cast into prison for the preaching. And now they just continue preaching. And now they will preach even when they are cast into the prison. What does Peter say? "Be ready always, people of the Lord, to give a reason of that hope which is in you." And that is, be instant in season, be instant out of season. But there is not always such an opportunity. Why? Because there is not always place to receive that word. Oh, how often is it not that man, he will just mock in this world. And so that is also here. Oh, they are handled by this jailer. And they are handled by him with a peculiar roughness. What do we read? We read that they are thrust into that inner prison. And that word, that means just, children, like you take something and you just throw it away. And when you throw it, then you don't care where it lands. You have no worry. You have no care about that thing. And so it is that this jailer, when he has received the command from the magistrates, and after that he has beaten them, or that he has just thrown them, that he has just cast them into this inner prison, probably he has been made acquainted with what these men have done. Probably he has been made acquainted with their religion, that they have spoken against his own gods, his own idols. And he despises, he disdains these men. What does the apostle say? He says we are made as the filth of the world, and we are the offscouring of all things unto this day. What do Paul and Silas say to this jailer? Do they begin to preach to him? Do they begin to exhort him at that time to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, no. No, they are silent. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, he does not give to them words at that time to speak unto this man. And so they say nothing. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, and cast ye not your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet, and they turn again and rend you. Thus, our first point, what went before this exhortation, and they said, believe. Paul and Silas, they say this congregation to a very different man, to a very different man. Oh, are there two jailers, boys and girls? No, there is only one jailer. And yet we say that they say this to a very different man. How is that? What kind of man is he? Oh, he is a converted man. He is a stopped man. Stopped on the way to eternity. A man unto whom the Lord has come. Seeing all his life, knowing all within and all without, and whom the Lord has stopped and said, this far you may go, but you may not go one step further. Are you a stopped man on the way to eternity? Is he now a converted man in himself? Oh, no. He is just the opposite. Do you see what the Lord does to a person? When the Lord converts him? Oh, how is it that such a change came about in this man? And how is it that such a change came about in him in such a short time? Doesn't take a long time. Do you believe that? No, it doesn't take a long time. It takes one moment. Or do you believe that the Lord can make you go out of this church different than you have come in? One moment. That rough jailer, steeped in heathenism, steeped in idolatry, steeped in superstition, but he is an elect vessel, known by the Lord, loved by the Lord, from a never begun eternity. Now, how does the Lord find him? Does the Lord find him praying? Does the Lord find him seeking? Oh, no. No, it is the Lord who is first. He has to be first. He does not find his people seeking him. No, he finds his people in many different places and ways in this world. But one thing is certain. They are not going in the right way. And now there comes a time that elect vessel that the Lord stops. A time not known by that people. No, they are running willfully They are running blindly to their destruction. But now in that moment that is known by the Lord, then the Lord is stopping them. Oh, has the Lord ever stopped us also in our life? What happens? How does the Lord stop this man? Paul and Silas, they are singing in the prison. And what do we read? Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. There is not a man, congregation. There is not a beloved husband. There is not a loving wife, a loving father, loving mother, with all their heart, that is able to stop a husband, to stop a wife, to stop a son, to stop a daughter in this world. As we are running with our fingers in our ears, with our hands over our eyes, to our long home, all the providences in this world, we don't see. Suddenly, a neighbor, a friend, taken out of this world, waking up well, and one moment, eternity. We don't see it. We don't believe. And we keep on running. But now the Lord, He is able to stop a man and a boy and a girl and a young person in one moment. And if the Lord has to shake this whole land, if the Lord has to shake this whole world, and He has to give an earthquake, He will do it. He will do it. There is not one of us that is on the outside, that is beyond His power. Or will we not ask the Lord to work through? Oh Lord, what do I need to stop me? What do I need for my eyes to go open? For my ears to go open? For my heart to go open? Oh Lord, if Thou hast to shake the world, if Thou hast to shake the earth to stop me on my way, oh Lord, wilt Thou work through? What do we read here? Oh, the Lord shakes the earth. And then we read, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep. Wonder of wonders. Wonder of wonders. An inestimable privilege. Wakened out of his sleep. There are two sleeps that man is sleeping. And he is awakened in this moment out of those two sleeps. He is sleeping a natural sleep. And he is awakened in the middle of the night. And he is sleeping a spiritual sleep. He is sleeping the sleep of death. And in one moment, at midnight, this man, he is awakened out of his sleep. And what happens to that man when the Lord wakes him up? Oh, then that man, he is afraid. Were you ever afraid? Lord ever wake you up in the night and make you fear? Oh, what is he afraid of? Immediately. When the Lord wakes him up, he is afraid of judgment. He is afraid of judgment. What do we read? And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners have been fled. Or he wakes up to what? He wakes up to that knowledge that he has to appear before his judges. He has to appear before the magistrates of the land. And this man, he is self-condemned. Or he sees that he cannot appear before his judges, and that if he will appear there, then certainly it is not going to go well with him. And now that poor man, what does he seek? He seeks death as a way to escape. He seeks death as a way to escape the judgment. Why? Because that man, he thinks that dead is dead. And he wants to be just like the animals, that after they are dead, then there is nothing anymore. There is just annihilation. Oh, congregation, are there now such people in our midst? Oh, are there such people who know what it is to be converted? To be converted. The Lord ever wake you up in the night? Or were you ever made to see in that moment that you also have to appear before your judge? Do you not dare to appear there? Do you not dare to appear there because of sin? Do you not dare to appear there because of your corruption, because of your guilt? That is the way that people go over this world. A stopped man, a stopped woman. Do you believe that? Self-condemned. No one needs to point their finger at them. No, because all their fingers, they are pointed at themselves. My sin, my sin, my sin. And how many times would they not desire to be as the beasts of the field? And why? Oh, that I did not have to stand before my judge. That I did not have to stand before my Maker. Congregation, is this a strange language to you? The language of the Word of God? The language of this jailer? All religion that is more than notion. It is more than custom. It is more than habit. It is more than going to and fro from that house of the Lord. Something must be known. Something will be felt. Oh, let us not deceive ourselves, because we are going to a never-ending eternity. And he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners have been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Congregation, if the Lord doesn't stop a man, and then he will bring himself to his own destruction. Suicide, oh suicide, that is a sin for which we cannot be forgiven. And why? Because there is no time for such a person to repent of his sin. And unrepentant, that is unforgiven. Oh, every thought of such a sin that is coming from hell itself. Oh, to make a person to completely despair of his life and to bring him immediately into his own pit. But the Lord will keep his people. Oh, the Lord will keep his people. Do thyself no harm. Oh, do you hear that, young people? Do you hear that? Do yourself no harm. Oh, let not the devil ever take hold of you that you would harm yourself. Oh, Satan, he promises so much in this world, young people, so much. So much from friends, so much from everything and that he places before your eyes in this world. Then to do what? Then to make you despair and to bring you even unto suicide. But now the Lord, oh, he is so different. Will you not seek him in the days of your youth? He is so good to a wretched and to a miserable sinner. He sits and he eats. He sits and he eats with publicans and with sinners. Do thyself no harm. Oh, the devil, he would tempt to harm, to kill yourself. But what is the message of the Lord? What is the word of the Lord? What is now that which comes from heaven? That is, do thyself no harm. For we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? O congregation, do you agree? Do you agree that that is now a different man? Yes, he is that same jailer, but he is a different man. He is a stopped man. He is a converted man. He is a regenerated man. He is a changed man. He is a renewed man. He has a new man. And he is also an unconverted man. He is a man in the dark. And he is calling for the light. He is a coming man. Springing in. Oh, he is a trembling man and came trembling. He is a bowing man and fell down before Paul and Silas, all the arrows of the Lord. And they are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Thereby the people, they are falling under him. Oh, yes, a different man. He is different within. He is different without. You don't recognize him anymore. And when his friends, when his acquaintances, they would look at him, they would say, who now is this man? Is he a heathen man? Oh, he is no more a heathen man. Oh, no, he is a convinced man. And he is a man that has new thoughts. Thoughts of his heart, new thoughts about the people of the Lord, those praying men, those singing men. And he has laid stripes on those men. But now he goes and he falls on the ground before them. And he would like to say to those men, step on me. He brings them out of the prison.
Oh man, don't you fear the magistrates? No, he doesn't fear the magistrates. Why? Because there is a higher magistrate. And that magistrate he has now come to fear. Oh, sirs, he says, what must I do to be saved? Is that now congregation a different man? He is a man that needs to be saved. Are you a man that needs to be saved? He is a man that has seen his state and condition. The Lord has showed it to him in one moment. And what is it? Lost. 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 Oh, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How can I be delivered from this my wretchedness, from this my misery? Oh, he is a man that needs to be saved. He is a man that does not know how to be saved. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? He is an ignorant man. He is a foolish man. And he is a teachable man. Oh, did you ever become such a teachable man that needs to be saved and that does not know how to be saved? Oh, what must I do to be saved? That is the cry of his soul. Has that ever become the cry of your soul? Has the Spirit of the Lord ever given to you what he has given unto this man? What must I do to be saved? No, then we do not sit coldly in our benches anymore. No, then we do not forget to pray and to read the Word of God when we sit in the house of the Lord. No, then we do not sit carelessly slumbering under the preaching, under the reading of that Word of God. Why? Oh, what must I do to be saved? Then we come with a need. Oh, then we come with a burning need in our soul before the Lord. And we come in with a need, and we go out with that same need. And we go to our inner chamber, and we lay it before the Lord. And we say, Lord, oh Lord, my soul, what shall I do? What must I do to be saved? Oh, then we are listening. Then we are listening to every word. Oh, then we are asking, asking. Then we are seeking, seeking. What must I do to be saved? Oh, are we criticizing then the ministers, the elders, the reading, the preaching, the praying? Oh, no. Oh, it can be all wrong, yes. Oh, but in this time, no. In this time, no. Then we say, my soul, oh, how is it before the Lord with my own soul? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Congregation, oh, did you ever become such a man? Did you ever become such a woman? Did you ever become such a boy, such a girl? Oh, were you ever converted? Were you ever regenerated? Oh, has that Spirit of Pentecost ever entered into your heart? Oh, what do you think? Will the Lord leave such a man unto himself? Will such a question, oh, what must I do to be saved? Will such a question go unanswered by the Lord? Let us sing. 188, 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, oh my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 1, 3, and 4 of 188.
our last thought, what is contained in this exhortation. And they said, believe. To whom did they say it? That is what we have considered. That is what we have heard. Is that a man who does not believe? It happened so. Didn't believe anything of what those men had spoken. But how different now it has become. Oh, indeed, that is a man who has begun to believe. How is that? Because, children, he was born again. You ask for that, right? You ask the Lord to give you a new heart. And that is now what this man received. And if we receive a new heart, then we have faith. Faith planted in our heart. And then we begin to believe. And so we heard it. What does he believe? He now believes that he is a wretched and a miserable man. Were you ever born again? Did you ever believe? He now believes the reality. He now believes that he has to stand in judgment. Were you ever born again? Were you ever converted? He now condemns himself. Were you ever born again? Were you ever converted? Oh, faith. That faith that makes him tremble. We believe too, right? We have made a confession before the church, but tremble. We don't make ourselves to tremble. No, it is when we believe that we begin to tremble. Do you believe? And faith makes him bow. And faith makes him cry out, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And now, congregation, it is already with that people. So good. So good. In the experience of their own soul. You say a man in great trouble. That is right. That is right. A man in great trouble. But do you know what we read in that blessed word of God? Psalmist Asaph. He said, it is good for me that I may draw near unto God. And now this is the first time in his life that this man, he begins to draw near unto God. And there is no solution in his life. But you may be sure it was good for him too. It was so different, though he had all this trouble in his soul. It was so different than his former life and much better. Oh, he would not trade anymore. For the whole world, for all the idols, anymore. And they said, believe. Why? Not because he did not believe, but because faith needed also to be led further. There are steps in that faith. Thus, he does not only say believe, but he speaks about an object of faith, which this man, in all of his believing, this man, he does not know. This object of faith. All that newborn faith, what does it say? It says, what must I do to be saved? Why? Because it's only acquaintance is with a covenant of works. What must I do? And now that is a people that are willing, indeed made willing in the day of the Lord's power, willing to give up all that old life, willing to forsake the world and every former friend. What must I do? All many waters, we read, they cannot quench love. The floods cannot drown it. If a man would give all his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. What must I do, he says. Just tell me. Oh, just tell me what I have to do, and I will do it. You say that too? Did the Lord ever convert you? It's like Mary. Oh, she was a woman, a weak woman. And she said, oh, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She was not thinking. She could not take him away. Oh, and now that love and that faith that needs to be taught, that needs to be instructed about what? A further object of faith. And this is a most blessed lesson that people, they can receive in their life. What must you do? Ah, soul, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Will he be pleased with 10,000s of rivers of oil? What must you do? Oh, shall you give your firstborn for your transgression? The fruit of your body for the sin of your soul? What must you do? Oh, the Lord says, if I were hungry, would I tell thee that I would take from you sacrifices and burnt offerings? Oh, do I have a desire to take now the bullock out of your houses and to take the he-goats out of your folds? What must you do? Oh, no, my soul, there is nothing. There is nothing. There is nothing you can do because your spirit is willing. But your flesh is weak. And you have lost all your ability to do anything and to do what is necessary to be done. And you know so little of this yet. But you will experience it in your life more and more. That if I would require from you just the least thing, just the smallest thing, all then your salvation, that would be impossible. What must you do? No. There is nothing you can do. Neither is there anything that you must do. You do not have to do anything because it is done already. Because my son, he has finished it. Because he has accomplished it. The complete work. No, you don't have to do anything. Because the price for sin is paid. No, you don't have to do anything. Because the judge, he is completely satisfied with everything that has been done, so that there is nothing, nothing required anymore. What must you do? No, there is nothing. Oh, the Lord gives it freely. Freely. Out of free and sovereign grace. It only needs to be received. And how is it received? It is received by faith. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. You believe that word? You believe you have to die? You believe you have to stand in the judgment?
You believe I am holy? You believe I am righteous? You believe that you cannot have one answer to 1,000 questions? Do you believe that? Do you believe in God? Oh, believe also in me. Believe in me, the Son of God, who has paid the price, who has finished everything for the people who have to die and who cannot die. Oh, believe also in me, who am willing to receive the chiefest of the sinners. Is that not a wonder? Do you see him, this man, bowing? Oh, he is before who? He is before Paul. Paul, oh, this man, who has persecuted the church of God. And now a jailer is also persecuted that church of God and laid stripes on these men. And now the Lord, he has prepared Paul. He has taught him to be a minister and to minister unto the chief of sinners. And he knew the solution. For that man, believe, he said, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He could say it because he knew it. He knew it from his own life. Do you know it too? Oh, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That is a further object of that true saving faith, and it is the most significant object necessary for that church to believe in him. And that is now that object that the Lord, he is leading his people unto, and that object which God's servants must take pains to lead, that faith, that newborn faith that cries out in agony, in misery, in wretchedness, what must I do to be saved? Oh, to lead them now to this object. Oh, when they may believe how great their sins and miseries are, that they may also believe that that Son of God, he has come to seek and to save not only others, but also me. All, then they may believe it. Why? Because he gives them to believe that they are lost. And then he shows them his word. And in his word he says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is me. Me. Lost. And so the Spirit of the Lord gives them to believe it. When they have to believe the first, that he gives them also to believe the second. Congregation, they are not the only words he spoke. No, we can read, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that was in his house, that it is not so, that these are the only words he spake. No,
He instructed him. But it is this is now the main part. This is the summary. This is the primary saving object of faith. How is it now? With your own soul, did the Lord ever make room for such an exhortation as may go out to this man? Yes, in a general way that comes to all of us, because we are in the church and because we hear it. But congregation, we need more than a general religion. Because God's word says, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. Thus, we need much more than a general religion. We need a particular religion. And if we now have never cried out, as that jailer cried out, what must we do? All then. And then, this Son of God, he also will never be made to us necessary, precious, suitable, white, ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000, yea, altogether lovely. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, remember us. We need to be converted as thou convertest all thy people. And now what a blessed message that thy servants may bring unto such a man. O Lord, could thou give us as thy servant so to experience it in the midst of this our flock. Oh, that thou would stop us on our mad career. And wilt thou give many, the multitude, to cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, that that word may go freely forth among us. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Remember us, forgive our many sins, blessing thy own word. Bring us with desire together again in this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake, amen. 417, 1 and 3. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. Oh, let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where 'neath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace thou wilt provide. 1 and 3 of 417. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.